right? And we'll start and we'll go back to the beginning, all right? Hey, Ephesians chapter 4, okay? Everybody ready? Everybody got a paper? Anybody got anything you need to add to say?
No.
All right, let's pray together. Father, we come tonight, and Lord, it's just, it's good to be in your house. We're safe in here. It's safe to be with your people. And the fellowship and to laugh and to talk and to share our burdens and share our loads with one another and to bear one another's burdens. But yet we can come to you and know full well that you're in complete charge and all authority over the enemy. And we live in you and you live in us. And you're great and wonderful. And though we fail, we're yours. And though we come short, we're yours. And though we can't, we're yours. It's good to know that we belong to you. Now, Lord, I pray that you cleanse my mind, my heart. Help me to teach tonight. Preach as you see fit. May our hearts be open. May our ears be open. And may we enjoy the word of God. May it have free course tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask, and amen. All right, let's look before we look in chapter 4. Let's look here at verse 20 and 21 in chapter 3. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Now, is that not a wonderful thought? Huh?
Yeah.
"Now unto him that is able," he is able, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You can't think of something that he can't do. You can't think of something that's bigger than him, that's more powerful than him. It can't enter your mind. Okay? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now look what it's according to. According to the power that worketh in us. Christ in you. God lives in you. If you don't get nothing else out of the book of Ephesians, I hope you get in it, get out of it, that the God of glory lives inside of you, and he didn't lay aside his power. He come in all power and all glory inside of your life. You think about that. And anything you can attribute to God lives inside of you. Think about that. And in verse 21, "Unto him be glory, all that he might receive glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Yeah. Ain't that most wonderful?
Yeah.
You can't beat the Lord. Now let's look at chapter 4. Now, we'll start at verse 1. And I'm going to go ahead and read the chapter and then we'll go back. All right? Everybody okay with that? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that's Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we've looked at Ephesians 1 through 3, and we've seen the glory, the power, the majesty, the love, the grace, the mercy of an almighty God. Chapters 1 through 3 have been wonderful and tremendous as we've magnified the name of the Lord together and showed our position in Christ, that we are in Christ. All right, y'all know that. You are in Christ. Christ is in you, we learn in Colossians. Christ in you, hope of glory. But we are in Christ. And then Paul wrote to the church of Colossae and said that we are hid with Christ in God. That's about as secure as you can possibly get. And there's no greater truth than to know that this God of glory lives inside of us. I can't get over that. It's amazing to me. Now, as we've looked at all that, Paul now tells us, it starts out here in how we are to walk in Christ with Christ. How we're to walk. Now, we're going to get in some things here in chapter 4 that's going to cut right close to the corn when it looks about our behavior and about some of the things and how we are supposed to live. Now, these are not suggestions. These are commands when he tells us to put on, put off. These are things he tells us to do. And we need to understand that, all right? Now, I believe the theme, if you want a theme verse for the whole chapter, this is my opinion, my thought, what I've read in chapter 4, and what I think to be the theme verse. Let's look at verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith,
yeah, right,
and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a complete man, complete the way we're supposed to be,
yeah,
unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we've dwelt for weeks. Now, we've looked for weeks about how we are one and one body. One in Christ. We looked about being the middle wall partition being torn down. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond or free. There's one church. There's one body. All right. There's one head. That's Christ. Okay. There's one door. That's Christ. There's one way of salvation. It's by grace through faith. Only one. Okay. Now all of that, it singles out and it speaks of unity. And the theme verse there, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And if there's anything we need to understand is the necessity of unity in the body of Christ. Now, we're not talking about the local church here. That goes without saying. We're talking about the entire body of Christ. Everybody understand that?
That's right, yeah.
It's the entire body. Now, when we think about we're one body by one blood. Now, we're one blood in creation. For the Bible says, I believe in the book of Acts, we are of one blood, all nations. That's how we are. All the nations come from the Tower of Babel. All of them come from Adam and Eve. Then we went up through Noah's time, and then the Tower of Babel. Then everybody was separated. Then all the nations come around. But it was still by one blood, Adam and Eve. Well, it's the same way with the body of Christ. All right, it's one blood. We are all kin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Right. Now, we got to remember, we're one body.
Right.
Now, Paul hammers that all the way through the book of Ephesians and Colossians both, that we're one body. Now, the reason being is because of our conduct. Ephesians and Colossians both is very strict on our conduct, one for another. Are you listening to me? And it's because we are one. There's no big eyes or little U's. There's nobody any better than the other. If you think you're better than another, then you are sinful.
Right.
You're self-righteous and you need to repent because you're the problem. Okay? We're not better than anybody. Okay? Nowhere in the world, any believer in the world, red, yellow, black, or white, no matter who they are, where they're from, we're part of one body by one blood, all right? And ain't nobody in here white, all right? We're all different shades of brown. Paula says she's the only one that's white. She's albino, she says. All right? But listen to me. Does everybody understand? Let me tell you how many races there are in the world. There's one. It's called the human race. There's not a black race. There's not an oriental race.
Yes.
Amen, preacher.
Right.
There's one race. God has made of one blood all nations. And then he made a bride, made a church, made a body. And it's by one blood, Jesus Christ, his blood. All right? Now, listen carefully. Denominations has wounded us severely. Severely. All right? Now, I don't know if I spelt that right as I look at it. If I did, wonderful. All right? But the Bible does not command us, thou shalt be Baptist. Thou shalt be Methodist. Thou shalt be Presbyterian. The Bible does not say that. He said they were called Christians first at Antioch. They weren't called nothing else. They were called Christians. And that was not a compliment. That was a slur. Because they were Christ-like. We're commanded to be like Christ. And denominations has done more to damage the cause of Christ than any other thing. Okay? Now, I am a Baptist. Yes, I am. Because I believe as far as the sects, S-E-C-T-S, as far as you would, that the groups are where the closest to the New Testament doctrine. Yes. Everybody understand that? That's why I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Baptist because my daddy was. All right? I'm a Baptist maybe for the same reason, but not because he was. All right? But denominations is not taught in the Bible. It's one body. We're supposed to be Bible believers. We're supposed to be Christ followers. We're supposed to be Christ-like. Now, that's not popular in the Baptist ranks, and I'm on YouTube now, and I may even get a comment on that, but there's no such thing as a Baptist brighter, and Baptists ain't the only one going to heaven, because all them ain't going neither. Okay? Does everybody understand that? That we are born-again believers. Okay? Now, all doctrines are not Bible. All doctrines are not truth. All denominations do not teach truth. Okay? They don't. All Baptists don't teach truth. There's ignorance and stupidity in all of them. But that has done more to harm us because it has separated us for the cause of Christ.
Right. That's right.
In Acts chapter 2, it says they were together and had all things common. And they was added to the church daily, such as should be saved.
Right.
All right? And they was thousands. Some estimate 100,000 members of the first church of Jerusalem. Think about that. Because they didn't know no better but to love one another. They didn't know no better but just to be together. They hadn't been taught that they was better than others. See, prejudices is where all this comes in, and you have to be taught to be prejudiced. You cannot be prejudiced automatic. And that's proven with children. Children don't know what color nobody is. They could care less. But they're taught prejudices. And we're taught that in color, and we're taught that in denomination, and we're taught that with everything. But that is not Bible. And people, some don't may not agree with that, but that's, you're wrong. All right? And that's just it. And you can't find it. I'll challenge anybody with the scripture. All right? So let's look at verse 1. Is everybody okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, Paul reminds us now, and he's a prisoner of the Lord. He's chained to a soldier. Every so many hours, they would chain soldiers. And he was always a witness. He was always walking in his vocation. He was a constant witness, even though he was a prisoner. He was a constant witness for Christ. Now, he's addressing our walk now. He's not addressing circumstance. He's not addressing situation. He's addressing that we walk faithful in the vocation from which we're called.
Right.
Because we have a purpose. And we're called for a purpose. And we're called for a life. We're called to walk with Christ. That's all we're called to do, is to walk with Christ and for Christ. That's all we're called to do. Does everybody understand that? And it does matter. This vocation is our called purpose, our life path, our service, our Christian life. Now, I want everybody to listen to me again. When you got saved, your secular life should not even be in the picture.
Right.
It's second or third or fourth. You have one life, and that's a spiritual life.
Right.
You can't be spiritual and secular.
Right.
You're one or the other.
Right.
All right? We have a spiritual life because of the new birth, and then we have to live in a secular world to make a living and exist, but we are not to have the secular life because we belong to Christ. And that's where we get messed up, because we want to be like that and still have Christ. It don't work like that. He said, follow me, and we're supposed to follow Christ. And the reason we have problems in the world is because we want to be a carnal Christian. And that's just the fact of it. We want to be at home here. This ain't my home. This world is not my home. I'm passing through. All right? But that ain't the way we live, though. That's not the way. And the reason being, because that's not what we've been taught. We've not been taught to live only a spiritual life. We've got a add-on Christianity. We've got to add on spiritual life, just like fries with your burger. You want fries with that. All right, turn to John chapter 3. Let's see if we can see a difference. Does everybody understand me tonight? John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. John chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. That which is born of the flesh is what? That which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The flesh ain't enough.
Right.
You gotta be born. Now, which becomes the most important? Which is gonna take you to heaven?
Spirit.
The Spirit. Born of the Spirit. That's what takes you to heaven. Which gives you the fellowship with Christ? The flesh or the Spirit?
Spirit.
Which makes you a conqueror? More than a conqueror? The flesh or the Spirit?
Spirit.
Which gives you power to overcome, the flesh or the spirit?
Spirit.
Which life you want, the flesh or the spirit?
Spirit.
Well, that's what we say.
Yeah.
But our life dictates what we, it shows what we want.
Yeah.
All right? Because we've been taught that if you're too spiritual, you're a fanatic.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you can't always live like that. You can't always do that.
Yeah.
That's good. That's carrying it a little bit too far. You think God's in everything. Yeah. 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 Is everybody following me tonight?
Yeah.
Now you say all that's in verse 1. All every bit of that's in verse 1. That we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Our secular life is supposed to be the add-on. Not our spiritual life. Now, I'm not saying we go to a mountain, shave our head, put on an orange robe, and live in solitude. I'm saying we walk with Christ, for Christ, with Christ, because of Christ. Huh? That we be the Christian that we're supposed to be. All right? Now, all these things that Paul tells us now, we can do, we should do, and sometimes we do them.
Right.
All right? But it's supposed to be normal. Again, Ephesians and Colossians is not super Christianity. It's normal Christianity. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
It's normal Christianity. If we're not doing this, we're less than what we're supposed to be. We're not super achieving.
Right.
All right? Think about that. It's that simple. Now, let's look at verse 2, and we'll see just how tough it gets. That we walk worthy of the vocation, or the purpose, or my life path, or my service, my Christian life, that I walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, how? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's tough. If you want to live in the world. It's not tough if you want to walk with Christ. I can't do that. But I came with Christ. Okay? Well, what is that? Is everybody still with me? All right? Now I want to say something here. When we talk about this vocation, that we walk worthy of this vocation where we're called, that's not us and the drunkards and the dope heads. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about one another right here in this building. Okay? We're talking about our spouse at home. Are you hearing me? This ain't just our neighbor. This is husband and wives, wives and husbands, parents and children, children and parents, grandchildren and grandparents, neighbors, strangers that we go to other churches and see. They're part of the body too. Every believer. You understand that?
Yeah.
See, we have put everything to where it's just our four no more, our little church. No. It's every believer.
Right.
But can I tell you, if I'm not a Christian at home, I'm not going to be one of the church house.
Right.
If I'm not a Christian with Cheryl Ann, I'm not going to be a Christian with you.
Right.
Anything I do with you, if I'm not a Christian with Cheryl, I'm a hypocrite to you.
Right.
You hear me?
If
all the things we're going to see in chapter 4, if I don't do them things to her or with her as a Christian, because as I've said, she's my sister wife.
Right.
Everybody follow me? Now that's how technical this gets. Now this will stop the divisions in the home and the ill will at home and the pouting and the little spats and the little fighting. If you go ahead and be a Christian down at the house, then we won't have it down at the church house. Amen, preacher. And we'll have power in our prayers. Because 1 Peter chapter 3 says if we can't get along, our prayers are hindered. That's why our churches are dead. And ain't no power in them because there ain't no power down at the house.
Right.
With all lowliness, humility, meekness. That's what lowliness is. Huh? There's no greater harm to the cause of Christ than when we are as a body have divisions.
Right.
When we don't get along and there's no excuse. There is no excuse. Everybody look at me. There is no excuse for any Christian not to get along.
Right.
If you don't get along, it's your fault.
Right. Yeah.
Because it should stop there. The forgiveness and the forbearance and the humility and love should stop with you, and it shouldn't be. It takes two people to argue.
Right.
Everybody listening to me?
Yeah.
It takes two people to argue.
Right.
So if it stops with you, it don't go no further. Now, this is true.
Yes, it is.
But we're guilty, ain't we?
Yeah.
Because it's always somebody else's fault. Well, they provoked me. No, you didn't forbear. Well, they said this, but you didn't forgive. Yeah, but they... No, you didn't receive it right. Well, it was uncalled for. You didn't love the word enough, or you wouldn't have been offended. Great peace have you that love the law. Nothing shall offend. Are we okay?
Right.
We're talking about walking with Christ. We're talking about learning how to walk with Christ. Now, you want revival? Let's be a Christian.
Right.
You want the power of God? Let's be a Christian. You want to see our people say, can I tell you the reason a lot of our families will go to hell? Because the way we act in front of them. And that's just a fact. Right? Now, lowliness is humility. I'm proud of humble. Meekness. Dependence on God instead of self. Huh? Now, when we look here, it says, with all lowliness and meekness. Meekness is a good way to explain it. I got right here, is strength under control. That's a good way to describe what meekness is strength under control. See, sometimes it's not our action that messes with us. It's our reaction. It's not our action. We didn't do it wrong. It's how we reacted. We still okay? Meekness is not weakness. Listen, it's having the power to act or respond, okay, yet choosing love and gentleness and kindness over what? Attitude. Anybody ever got any attitude problem? We all got attitude problems. Huh? And you know what we say? Well, my family's like that. Well, you're wrong. You're supposed to have been born again. How's that family?
Right.
I take it from my daddy. Well, how about your heavenly father? You're born again. How about, what do you take from him?
Yeah.
Are we okay?
Repeat.
Repeatist? Yeah. What attributes do we take from our heavenly father?
Yeah.
We'll brag about what we get from our earthly father or mother.
Yeah.
You want to know how, you know what the attributes of our Heavenly Father is? Just look to the cross.
Yeah.
Look to the judgment there as He stood before Pilate.
That's right.
As He stood before Caiaphas and Pilate and all the mobs. Then see what we got. And you say, oh, I can't do that. Yeah, you can because it's Christ lives in us.
Right.
We've done looked at our position. Paul set us up is what He did.
Yeah.
If you look at the letter to the church of Ephesus, He set us up big time in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then lowered the boom on us in chapter 4. Huh? And then lowered the boom on us again in chapter 5. Huh? And then he encourages again in chapter 6 when he tells us to get our armor on. But I'm telling you, this is scripture.
Right.
All right? Listen, look at me tonight. Being a Christian is a lot narrower than what we live it. Being a believer is a whole lot narrower than what we believe it to be. It's a narrow way. That's what the Bible, Jesus said himself, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That's why there are few to be able to find it. Are we still okay? I'm not. Wearing me out. With all lowliness and meekness. And look, y'all ready? I hate this word, long-suffering. It's patience and self-restraint when provoked or wronged. It's dealing with difficult people for a long time without taking their head off. That's what long-suffering is. Huh? That's what it is. Anybody here deal with difficult people? Keep it doing it. That's long-suffering. Huh? Huh? Anybody here? Well, I better not go there. I may want to take somebody's head off. But seriously, this is what we're talking about, being a Christian. See, if we preach the Bible the way we should, I think that's why the scripture says they few there be that find it. Because when you preach this on what being a Christian is, there's not going to be too many that says, I want to be a Christian.
Right.
Because there's a lot that are Christians that wish they weren't if they got to act like it. We're quiet bunch tonight. Huh? Being quiet don't help it any. Just want to go ahead and tell you, being quiet don't help it. It ain't no easier. Alright? It ain't no easier to swallow. Huh? Best way to do it, if you think it stinks, hold your nose and you can swallow whatever you put in your mouth. Guaranteed. Put in your mouth, you have trouble swallowing, hold your nose and you'll swallow. Try it. Now, it says, with all lowliness, meanness, with long suffering. Y'all remember we went through this in Colossians. Remember how tight it was there in Colossians chapter 3? Huh?
Yeah.
And Paul repeats it. Huh? With all lowliness and meanness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Right.
Enduring the faults and the weaknesses and the irritating ways of other believers. The irritating ways. You know how I irritate you? You got to love me.
Yeah, right.
Huh? Hey. To put up with the junk people have even when it's hard.
Yeah.
You ever got junk you got to put up with?
Yeah.
Huh? Talk to me.
Yes.
Yeah, we put up with junk, don't we? But it has to be, listen, it has to be an active choice. It can't be forced upon you.
Right.
Forbearing one another in love is an active choice. It's intense, something you have to do intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you hearing me? Nobody can make you. It's wrapped up in the skin of forgiveness. Huh? That's what forbearing one another in love is wrapped up in, the skin of forgiveness. Huh? See, if there's trouble with someone, it's your fault. Because you shouldn't allow it to become trouble. And we'll say that again, because that nobody likes that. But if there's trouble with somebody, it's your fault. Because you shouldn't allow it to be trouble. And we'll say that one more time. If there's trouble with somebody, it's your fault. If there's trouble with somebody, it's your fault because you shouldn't have allowed it to bother you.
Yeah.
Because I have Christ in me.
Right.
See, this is why. This is why chapters 1, 2, and 3 had to be written first that we can see the power of God in us and our position in Christ. And everything that Christ does in us, giving us the ability to then walk the way He says to walk. Are we okay with that? How come you don't make it feel like it's okay? There's no argument worth causing a division in the body of Christ. There's no winner in an argument. There's no winner in any argument. Because the truth is always true and the wrong is always wrong. We okay? Let's look and see. How about Galatians? And we'll quit with this. All right? How about Galatians 5? The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. How about Colossians? How about we go back to Colossians chapter 3? Put on therefore, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, that's two verses. See what next week holds. Father, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.